Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Over the last several weeks, we've spent time focusing on towns in the northern part of Mecklenburg County. That area is experiencing rampant growth and all that comes with it. But the growth spurt this region is experiencing isn't just presenting problems to be solved. It is presenting opportunities to transform something old and tired into something new and vital. In Belmont, Cornelius, Kannapolis, and Matthews, those towns have been focusing their energies on their downtowns with an eye toward maintaining their identities and creating a sense of place. All four see their downtowns as centers of activity for the people who live there. They've set some lofty goals, and already many of them have been realized. In this hour, we let them tell their story and share their plans. Adrian Miller is the city manager of Belmont, which for newcomers to our area is just across the Catawba River in Gaston County. Adrian, welcome to the program.
Good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Get a little closer to that microphone. It's the only friend in the room, so just, you know, be there for it. Mike Legg is the city manager of Kannapolis, once a thriving mill town. It was thrown into chaos by the collapse of the textile industry, but now is on its way back. Mike, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Good to see you. Justin Dion, excuse me. So I told you I'd get it. I'll say what I want to say. Justin Dion is executive director of the Kane Center for the Arts in Cornelius. We've spent some time talking about Cornelius in recent weeks and months on this program, but the Kane Center holds considerable promise for the future there, and we wanted to hear more about it. Welcome to you.
Thank you, sir. Honored to be here.
Good to see you. And last but certainly not least, John Urban is a city commissioner of the town of Matthews, one of Charlotte's fastest growing, and I dare say healthiest suburbs. Good morning to you.
Thanks for being here.
Nice to have you here. Adrian, let me start with you. We know that downtown suffered greatly as commercial traffic moved to shopping centers and big box stores in the 60s and 70s and 80s. All of those things still exist today. Shopping centers and big box stores are everywhere. How do you explain the fact that downtowns, including yours, are on the way back?
Well, downtown Belmont is a lot like other downtowns. We have historic buildings, and they've been repurposed many times over. We focused on locally owned shops and restaurants and offices and just have a great place to be so that it's a completely different experience and a very authentic experience. So it's not something that you get in a big box store.
But why did it happen? How did it happen? Because those buildings didn't go away. They were just empty, a lot of them, for a long time. Now, I may be wrong about Belmont, but in a lot of downtowns, they were just boarded up, these buildings, for years. And now you got these mom-and-pop flower shops and restaurants and popcorn stores and all these things that suddenly people want and flock to. What changed?
So in the 1990s, the mayor and city council in Belmont were very intentional about redeveloping downtown and investing in the water and the sewer and burying power lines, widening the sidewalks, and making downtown a special place that was going to be ready for the growth that they anticipated. Mm-hmm. Now it's taken a little bit longer than they imagined. We're getting it now, and they were setting the stage in the 1990s.
Wow.
But we wanted to create an authentic sense of place that people wanted to be and walk down the sidewalk and stop into a coffee shop or stop into a bar or pick up some little groceries on the way home from work.
I want to come back to that sense of place in just a couple of seconds. John, how about Matthews? Did it ever really fall into any kind of decline in your mind?
It did. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Even prior to the recession, there was a lot of vacancies. And it was during the recession we really sort of hit rock bottom from that aspect of it. But through 20 years of methodical planning with the planning department, city commissioners, general stakeholders, business owners and all, it took a little bit of time, but as we came out of the recession, we now can probably say we have no vacancy whatsoever.
Wow.
Downtown.
Because I've done the show a long time, and so back in the day when we started, downtowns were still desperately trying to claw their way back, and some people had just kind of thrown in the towel and given up the ghost. But obviously, your two towns, at least, and now Kannapolis is joining their ranks, kind of said, no, we're going to try to turn this thing around. What made you think you could?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think the reality is you look at all small towns in the South have all sort of grasped back to their grassroots, and you have a lot of either halfbacks coming from Florida back this way or Yankees coming down from the South, and they're looking for something authentic, and they all sort of reach back to the sort of the small town feel. And that's what Matthews provided. And we have a lot of newcomers that have opened up businesses here. We have more people living in downtown, although our population really hasn't changed much downtown since the 50s. It's a different type of person. More millennials are now moving into Matthews. So the vibrancy is changing.
Adrian mentioned a sense of place, and we've done a whole series of programs on having a sense of place. How important to individual small towns are these downtown areas for establishing a sense of place? Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think Adrian mentioned the difference between this experience and, you know, your malls and those kinds of things. I think that's the critical difference, is people looking at a place they can interact with people, they can spend time, leisurely time. It's just a different animal, I think, downtowns than the rest of the retail and sort of mixed-use experience out there.
And Justin, your project, the Kane Center, which will open someday in the near future. That's the whole point of that, aside from the artistic part of it, is to give downtown Cornelius a bigger sense of place, right?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. The Cornelius project here, the Kane Center for the Arts, is an interesting space. I have a history in Salisbury, North Carolina, which has a beautiful historic downtown and sense of place, and they have this wonderful inventory of just wonderful historic buildings and places. And Cornelius' downtown does have a much smaller inventory, but what's interesting about our project is we're kind of coming into create from the ground up as well. So taking the small inventory that's there and then adding to that, it's really, you have to think about how it all works together. And again, that sense of place and thinking, and this is where our town leadership has been so great, helping to think farther into the future. So it's not just what's going to happen in the next 5 years, but 10 years and 15 years down to the points that the gentlemen were making earlier, because it takes time to think about build out and how all these things work together. But we want walkability. We want identity. We want that sense of place. Absolutely.
How would the three, because you're kind of the odd man out here. You're the arts guy.
I know. These are all.
And these guys are town people. But so the three of you from Kannapolis and Matthews and Belmont, how would you compare, and you weren't here, so you don't know, how would you compare what downtown your city is today to what it was in its original heyday? How would you, Mike?
Yeah, well, ours was generated by the textile industry, so it was a part of that. It was an appendage to that.
Owned and operated. It was a mill town.
There's been three owners of this downtown its entire history.
Right.
Cannon Mills, David Murdoch, who bought it and repurposed the mill for the North Carolina Research Campus, and now the city. So, for 150 years, there's just been three owners of this entire downtown. So it was always sort of the town center. Before the interstate was built, before even Cannon Boulevard was built, this was the place people went. They worked there. They lived close by. They could walk to downtown. So from that perspective, we're trying to recreate that, get back to that same kind of thing.
Okay.
The first project downtown, the first private project that's coming out of the ground now, were 300 apartment units, a multi-story, seven-story building right in the heart of downtown.
So please tell me they don't look like everything we've
They
got.
Don't.
Okay,
They
good.
Don't. They don't. it's not built yet. It's under construction. The drawings, we've seen it. But the point is we're trying to recreate that. And we have a lot of the old original homes built by the textile companies there too. So those are being repurposed. So we're creating what existed 100 years ago, just in a new way.
So is this retro? Is this fallback Monday?
Maybe a little bit. There's a nostalgic piece to some of this, but really it's economics. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing in downtown Kannapolis if it wasn't for Charlotte and the regional growth. People wouldn't want to live in our downtown if it was in a place that's not in a dynamic region. That's the difference.
Something similar is happening in Rock Hill, too, with the downtown Rock Hill having apartment developments and restaurants cropping up here and there. What about Belmont? How does it compare to what it was? How does it compare today to what it was in its last heyday?
So sort of like Kannapolis, Belmont was a textile town. Mm-hmm. And so when it was originally built 100, 120 years ago, everything was downtown. All the mills were downtown. The general store, which was owned by the mills, was downtown. The train stop was downtown. So everything, and of course people didn't have cars. So everything had to be within walking distance from the mill. So that's how we developed. And then as the area grew, the textile mills declined, people left, and our downtown was pretty desolate. And again, with 20 years of just hard work and a lot of good people making investments in the downtown, yeah, it's come back.
John, what about Matthew?
We didn't have a mill. We had a cotton gin and a livery stable. Its big heyday was in the 20s, 30s, through the 50s, right, from that aspect. Surprisingly enough, we had more people living downtown than we do now, is because a lot of the buildings used to be two floors. Once they burned down, they lopped that second floor off and just kept it as the first floor.
Were there a lot of fires?
There seemed to be, according to the historians in town.
Were they insurance fires?
That's a really good question. It just seems ironic because folks come here and they say, oh, it's what a wonderful, wonderful, quaint town. Don't change it. Do you realize that we had a boutique hotel downtown? Do you realize we had a livery stable? Do you realize that most of these buildings were two floors? Well, no, I didn't know that. Well, we're just trying to recapture that and go back to that direction.
Now, Justin, you're the executive director of the Kane Center for the Arts in Cornelius, yet to be built. But as you mentioned earlier, you have experience in Salisbury with the Lee Street Theater there and kind of guiding a $1.5 million capital campaign to renovate that space and turn it into what it is today, a performing arts center that really, I guess, transformed that part of Salisbury. Talk about what an art center can do for a small town, for a downtown.
Right. It can do so many things. The arts are really something that helps you create community, create common place and ideas, a place where you can share those ideas as well. And then economically speaking, look at Charlotte. The story of what the Blumenthal did for Uptown Charlotte is not dissimilar from what even the smaller towns are doing with putting art centers there. In Salisbury, what's great was we already had great leadership established in Salisbury through much of the philanthropists in the area that helped to establish other cultural institutions there, like the Moroni Theater, the Norval Theater, Waterworks Visual Arts Gallery, and others. And so what we did with Lee Street Theater was we went to the other side of the town where there were just a bunch of great historic 1920s warehouses. And, we said we want to take this one. We want to turn it into an arts, a theater, mm-hmm, space, a Black Box theater space. And within a couple years of doing that, there are now two breweries located within two blocks of the space. I know that Catawba College has been looking at taking space and renovating it as well. The Visitors Bureau there has done a great job now. They're looking to create an outdoor amphitheater type space near Lee Street Theater. But it really takes that public-private partnership between your municipal leadership there, but also the nonprofit as well. I think there's a great way that they work together with that, as well as private individuals, corporations in the area.
Your town folks, your leadership says that this facility, the Kane Center, will be an economic development catalyst.
Absolutely.
That will bring people from all over the region to the center of town. How does that work? Because we have, as you said, you pointed out, we have more theaters in downtown Charlotte. I will bet you we have as many theaters in this area,
right,
as Broadway has. I mean, right, we got the Children's Theater. There are two theaters, mm-hmm, down the street. There are two theaters in the building we're sitting in. There are three theaters over at the Performing Arts Center. Right. There's the Knight Theater down the street.
Right.
There will be the Carolina Theater. So what is it about performance spaces that act as an economic catalyst beyond ticket sales?
So that's a great question. First, I want to say that I'm glad that our people are sticking with their talking points. And two, I also will say that, so to really think about this in a way, if you think of, everyone probably says this, you think of the way the Charlotte area has grown, not dissimilar again to maybe an Atlanta, a D.C., a Denver, these areas where the outer communities.
Let me stop you because I threw you a curve and you cannot possibly answer this question in the time that we have.
It's a big question.
So we'll come back. That's Justin Dion from the Kane Center for the Arts in Cornelius at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to folks from Kannapolis and Belmont and Matthews and Cornelius about revitalized downtowns and revitalizing downtowns. Mike Legg is the city manager for Kannapolis, which we'll talk about in a second, about their plans for redevelopment. John Urban is a city commissioner in Matthews. Adrian Miller, city manager of Belmont. And Justin Dion, who I interrupted a moment ago, the executive director of the Kane Center for the Arts in Cornelius. And I think I asked, how does the presence of a performing arts center, aside from ticket sales, help economic development? And I interrupted you, and I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. Thank you. So again, it was, definitely was a big question. And you also referenced, you know, why another arts center, mm-hmm. after there's so many in this area? And, you know, just so our plan is based on the idea that, you know, there's we've created a kind of a 25-mile diameter circle centered on downtown Cornelius as we consider what will be our primary market. And that includes basically North Mecklenburg, South Iredell, East Lincoln, and West Cabarrus counties. Mm-hmm. And according to our counts, that's approximately 300,000 to 350,000 people that... Really, I mean, there's some facilities in the area, I mean, privately ran by Davidson College and some others, but there's really no publicly accessible arts and community center of a certain size that can fit that amount of people without driving all the way down to Charlotte. And I've only lived in Cornelius for almost 2 years, but I've learned that 77 really can be a barrier.
Yes, it can.
It really can be a barrier for people. And so
not just east and west in Cornelius, but north and south.
That's right. Yeah. So you've really got that challenge. And we also found that there's an opportunity for Charlotte organizations like you've already got great, wonderful established organizations here, such as Charlotte Ballet, Children's Theater of Charlotte, you know, these you mentioned, and the Symphony, that would love to expand their reach, mm-hmm. To these outer areas, but there's really not a facility up there for them to use yet.
Yet.
So we plan to partner with those kind of
organizations. What will that facility be like? What's the plan? Is it more than an auditorium?
Absolutely. It really is a full arts and community center. I really have to hit on the community aspect. There are plans for a 400-seat theater, mm-hmm. that will be designed similar to the Booth Playhouse. Excuse me. Two classroom spaces. One will be dance oriented and the other will be general kind of classroom. And then an art gallery that'll double as an event space. And then an outdoor green space with possibly some kind of amphitheater. So
yeah, I've seen renderings of the outdoor space at the Kane Center. And it looks to me like that's the epicenter. That's where that's where people envision a lot of the activity being, whether they spill out of the auditorium after a performance, mm-hmm. or that they just hang out.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. You know, and that's one of my I'm so lucky and blessed to be able. This would be the third type of theater art center I've been able to be involved with, watching it conceptually be designed. And I'm really convinced that as we look into the future of how spaces like this work, it's not just an art space. They have to be publicly accessible and encourage public use other than just the arts.
So where Cornelius has decided to go that route, Mike Leggett, Mike Legg, in Kannapolis, you've decided on a $37 million sports and entertainment venue to host the Kannapolis Intimidators, along with musical and other cultural events. Construction on that is actually underway. Is that right?
It is. It's well underway. First pitch is spring of this coming year, 2020. So,
spring of next year.
Next year. Yeah, okay. This coming year. Okay, next year, 2020. So we had this internal debate early on about performing arts, children's museums, baseball stadiums, and we ended up with a baseball stadium for a couple of reasons. One, we had an aging stadium that needed a lot of, mm-hmm. work put into it, or we needed to just replace it. And when the two things merged, that issue and our downtown revitalization effort merged, it was clear we needed to build it downtown.
But you're also planning a performing arts.
We are, ultimately. That's in the plans long term. We do have the historic Jim Theater, which plays first-run movies. As long as that is still an active business operation, we intend to ride that as long as we can.
You have a unique situation, I think, in Kannapolis, mm-hmm. because, as you said, it was a mill town. The mill built the town. The mill owned the town. Cannon Mills owned the town. Mr. Murdoch, who is from Dole Foods and who is putting the research campus out there, he bought the town, lock, stock, and barrel, and now the city has bought its own town, which I find it's amazing to me that the city has to buy its own town. But you did that. And for newcomers to this area, let's go back in time a little bit. Because when Cannon Mills closed, 4,000 people lost their jobs just like that overnight. And it threw the place into complete disarray. David Murdoch came in. He began to build this research campus out there. Where the mill once stood. Then the recession occurred and stopped a lot of progress on the mill, on the campus there. Where does Kannapolis stand today?
That's almost a distant memory, okay. Honestly. It's just amazing how time can change things. We live in such a dynamic region. Our growth is just overwhelming, positive growth. New housing, about a third of our city is in a complete growth mode, sort of new housing all related to Charlotte commuting. So we've recovered from that 100%. That's sort of ancient history now.
Okay. Good to hear.
But we have this sort of big, you know, issue downtown with all these buildings, and it's an opportunity, but it's a big challenge too. It's sort of the leftover from that.
Is downtown Kannapolis open for business, or are you still waiting to revitalize?
Well,
the space?
Right now it's a major construction zone, has been for the past year and will be for the next year. Really, okay. This summer the streetscape, the main sort of infrastructure and new streetscape is all opening up. So that part of the construction is over, and it will start to open then. But then it's a matter of filling the buildings, and some are being filled. We have a brewery coming this summer, and it'll be a slow process getting the buildings filled.
Mr. Murdoch discovered that the old adage, if you build it, they will come, may not be true, because he was trying to recruit scientists, and the scientists said, we don't want to live there because there's nothing to do. So they wouldn't come. And Duke University evidently did a study on this and also discovered that the lack of a vibrant downtown was a problem for you guys, and that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
why didn't he do it? Why didn't Murdoch do it? He owned it all. Why didn't he just do it?
It's a good question. He was focused on the campus at the time. Okay. That was his main issue, and this was sort of just a secondary
thing. So when somebody says we need a vibrant downtown, that means so many things to so many different people. Mm-hmm. Where do you begin?
Well, you buy it and then start from there. we wanted to be a catalyst. We'd never wanted to be in the real estate business at all, but we knew that we need to be a catalyst and get private investors. We've sold one of the major blocks downtown already to a private investor who's putting $65 million. You know, we're building the sports entertainment venue, a.k.a. the baseball stadium downtown. So then we're focused on some of the historic buildings, and that's going to be the bigger challenge.
Yeah.
Buildings that are 75, 80, 100 years old that have a lot of work that needs to be put into them. So the infrastructure, that's all done now. So we've already invested $100 million of public money in the private sector. By year's end, we'll have spent $100 million as well. So now we go to the historic part, and that is the long play and the long challenge to get those spaces filled.
John Urban, your area, Matthews, ran the risk of just becoming a bedroom community for Charlotte, and because you're in the direct line of the spread. How did you avoid making that happen? Because since I came here in the 80s, you've always had this kind of identity, this you're holding on for dear life to save Matthew's personal identity, and it worked.
Absolutely, and there's sort of an outcry of, like, preserve Matthews, but it's been the last 20 years of not only the people and the politicians working hand-in-hand to sort of slow, methodical growth. There's no silver bullet here. Everything lifting all boats at one time. Great park and rec opportunities. We have Matthews Alive. We have a strong historic foundation that works with the Landmarks Commission.
Matthews Alive and the Stumptown Festival.
Yes.
Were they the things that helped give you that sense of identity all those years before revitalization actually got
I think
underway?
Those are a few of the two components there that everybody remembers as children.
Yeah. And you, too, have an arts center.
Yes, we have the community center. We call it the Fullwood Theater. We have performing arts and visual arts. It is a catalyst in the economic driver in the community. It's not the thing that's sort of burgeoning at the seams, because I think it's more of a local theater from the standpoint that people can, you know, walk to it, have dinner, go to a craft beer location, maybe visit the library, and then always have access for their children to the theater.
Yeah. There was a time when Belmont was just kind of a place. Yeah, he's out there between Charlotte and Gastonia. And now it's become a kind of a destination in many ways. How did you get businesses to take a stand there, to come in, take the risk, open the doors, and see what happens?
Well, I think setting the stage back in the 90s and 15 years ago of creating that great place, we had these buildings that had been taken care of, but maybe were a little bit vacant. Mm-hmm. The Catawba River is a huge physical and kind of psychological barrier between Mecklenburg and Gaston County. And so I think as people from Charlotte decided it's probably okay to cross the river and take 85 or Wilkeson Boulevard and make it across the river, they discovered that Belmont is this great little town. And you know, we're 6 miles from the airport. We're 12 miles from uptown Charlotte. So as Charlotte folks came over, they saw what we had. They invested in it. They started businesses there. They moved there. And so the business community has really invested, not only the Gaston County business community, but the Mecklenburg County.
But it's folks. A big risk to open a small business. It's
absolutely.
It's a big personal
absolutely.
Risk for people. How did you get them to do it? I mean, I remember Belmont and when it wasn't what it is today and thinking, well, there's a lot of parking. Nothing, once you park the car, not much to do. Not many places to go. Now the reverse is true.
And now we have the reverse problem.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The reverse is true. So somebody had to start the thing and take the risk. What kind of people did that?
We've always had this great entrepreneurial spirit, you know, starting back in the textile industry. And so it's just, you know, a few people getting together with an idea. Rent was cheap downtown because there wasn't a whole lot going on. So you could try something downtown. And if it worked, that's great. If it didn't, try something else.
And Matthews always had good restaurants. I don't know how you did that.
We're extremely blessed. We're now close to about 30 different food beverage establishments.
Wow. The city of Belmont has this Main Street program dedicated to revitalization, and you see it as a job creator to help grow business, improve citizen satisfaction, and increase tourism. How obviously that plan is working. Tourism. Do you all think of yourselves as
Absolutely.
Places for tourists to come?
Yes.
Everybody is saying yes. Everybody around the table is saying yes.
We're now a destination. Well, Matthews is now a destination.
Explain that.
I mean, obviously, through the growth of the food and beverage industry in Matthews, the craft beer industry precisely, actually, we've become a destination. And I can't tell you what that draw is, but it's not just individuals, but it's families that come.
And do you know where they're coming from? Is it people from the local area, from different parts of Charlotte and the surrounding towns?
Actually, with the craft beer aspect of it, it seems to be a tour. They come from all over. I've been on the streets on a Saturday afternoon and stopped and talked to folks, and they're like, yeah, I'm coming here from Rock Hill, or I've come down from Greensboro because of X, Y, or Z Brewery.
Mm-hmm. So in our area, obviously the Lake Norman is the big tourist destination in that area, and one of our goals is to create the downtown area as an additional tourist opportunity. You know, we have a great Visit Lake Norman organization up where we are. And, you know, up in that downtown in Cornelius, also the new Old Mecklenburg Brewery
right.
expansion is happening. So with that, and then with what we create with the Arts and Community Center, with the Kane Center there, you know, and other businesses that are coming, we hope to eventually create. And what's really neat, we used to do this in Salisbury with the CVB there, with Lee Street Theater. They're really great at putting together packages where you say, hey, buy a, you know, get a night in a hotel and get a free ticket to come see a show or something like this. And it's a way to really entice people to come and spend the weekend. Because as we all know, and that's the downtown thing, right? If you get people to spend the night, they're more likely to then come see a show, to spend money at restaurants, and these other things. I mean, there are studies that are out. The Arts and Economic Prosperity study that came out last year talked that I think for each time that someone comes and buys a ticket to see a show at a theater, they spend an additional, usually I think it's around $30 a person.
Wow.
In the family to go when they go see a show. So these all impact the downtowns.
So years ago in Kannapolis, I remember going up there regularly to buy towels and furniture. What makes it a tourist attraction today, Mike?
Well, it will be. Right now it's a construction zone.
All right. Well, you got to start someplace.
That's right. But once the construction is done, you know, if we don't attract tourists, then we fail because we're spending so much money on a new ballpark. And that's going to bring 200,000 to 300,000 people downtown every year. A lot more than that probably if you use it for other things. But every investment and every investor we've talked to so far says without that ballpark, we wouldn't be considering this. So it's a game changer. And I think restaurants and the food and beverage industry, they feed off of each other. That's why there's 30 in Matthews. That's why Belmont's been so successful, and we think we will be, is you get a couple that start, and it's just steamroll. It's steamrolls. You're creating that sense of place. They feed off of each other. It's just critical mass. And I think the ballpark is going to be part of that for sure. We think this dynamic streetscape, which is really a linear park, is going to be like nothing you've seen. It's 2.5 times wider than any downtown street anywhere, probably in America. That's how big it is. So it's creating a linear park, a major linear park.
But is that going to be cars or is it going to be
both.
Pedestrians?
It's going to be both, but it's designed in a way that is heavily pedestrian.
Because you're doing the same thing in Cornelius, I believe, or I've seen a couple of design proposals for streets that are...
They do have plans for what they're calling a downtown kind of arts festival street,
right
there on the main street in Catawba, where they're going to, there's ideas to brick it in and make it more pedestrian friendly and wider sidewalks. We were just talking, we're in our design phase right now, we're talking about expanding the sidewalks wider in front of where the Arts and Community Center will be, so that it allows for food and beverage, outdoor eating. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And in Belmont, you have a park, don't you, downtown?
We do. We have Stowe Park downtown.
And you have dining opportunities, and you have retail.
We do.
How do you explain how that happened? I mean, you have a lot of different dining opportunities and bars and places like that. This is a mill town.
This is a mill town, but it has evolved over
the years.
No brown
bagging anymore.
No, sir. You can get any local craft beer in most of our restaurants downtown.
What are you doing about parking?
We have leased some private parking lots in the last couple of years. We've increased our public parking inventory about 40% in the last 2 years. We have a perception of a parking problem most of the time because you can't park in front of the store like you did 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
So you may actually have to walk down a block or so or circle around and then find a parking spot. But once you park, you're going to enjoy your experience.
Well, you've been charged with managing the small town feel of Belmont. How do you do that now that it's successful? And people are coming and finding places to park and eating in the restaurant. How do you do it? And how will you do it if and when the Lynx Blue Line arrives?
The Silver Line. Yes.
So, okay, silver, whatever color they're going
to
make it.
Yes, sir. So that'll go from Belmont to Matthews. And so we have focused almost exclusively on downtown, probably at the expense of the Wilkeson Boulevard corridor. So we're excited for the Silver Line to come and help us transform that corridor as well.
What's the date on that? What are they telling you?
Katz is hoping to do that by 2030.
Is that optimistic, do you think?
We're very hopeful, yes.
The other end of that line is Matthews.
Yes, that's correct.
When we come back, I want to talk about what you think that might do for you if and when that project is realized, because there are some ifs. Okay, be an optimist. See if I care. We're going to come back in just a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAD. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Cornelius, Kannapolis, Belmont, Matthews, with people involved in all four of those cities. Justin Dion is the executive director of the Kane Center for the Arts in Cornelius. John Urban is a city commissioner in Matthews. Mike Legg, the city manager in Kannapolis, and Adrian Miller, the city manager in Belmont. We're just talking about light rail and the projected arrival of light rail in Belmont and Matthews in 2030, the Silver Line, which will tie those two east-west destinations together. What are you anticipating if that happens? Does Matthews see that more as a commuter device into and out of Charlotte, or do you see that train arrival as something else?
I think it can work both ways, obviously. We have just as many people coming to Charlotte or going to Charlotte every day to work as there are people coming to Matthews to go to work. So we could see that.
Really? Both directions?
Both directions. That's pretty amazing from that aspect of it. And I would be remiss in not saying anything about the Sportsplex, because obviously we have Charlotte Independence out at the Sportsplex,
right. All
those fields, the soccer, the rugby. So the Silver Line would be an advent for that aspect of it as well. So, I mean, we've been planning for this for 20 years. We were sort of dismayed that they were talking about a bus line, and they got swept around back to the Silver Line. So all our zoning has been looking at those overlays and those districts and where those stops would be taking place in and around the town and how we develop around those.
Well, in Charlotte, we keep being told that this not the blue line is not just a transportation device. It's actually more of a development and tax-based development device. Is that how you see it?
It absolutely is going to be one of those mechanisms. There's just no way around it. I don't see how you can approach it otherwise.
Same thing in
We see it as both, but mobility options as well as economic development.
How do you think it'll change your two towns? Its arrival, what will it do to your two towns?
Well, it'll totally transform the Wilson Boulevard corridor. I mean, right now it's underdeveloped, it's underutilized from an economic development standpoint. So that'll allow us to attract office and mixed-use development and residential development along Wilkinson, and to give people an opportunity to live in Belmont and commute in to Charlotte, or vice versa. We still have a lot of land available for corporate offices, for campus, for mixed-use development, that people from Mecklenburg County can ride the train into Belmont to work and go back.
Do you guys still talk about a train in Cornelius?
We don't talk about that very often. No, I'm not authorized to speak on such topics.
I know you're not. Let me share with you some comments that have come in from listeners while we've been talking. Julie on Facebook: Lexington, North Carolina is a small town that has done it right as well. And the last thing they wanted to be was simply a bedroom community for the triad. You're all nodding about that. Rebecca on Facebook: Belmont has done a great job. Many things are in the works. What is missing that I would like to see is the Stowe Children's Train taken out of storage and a carousel like some other towns have. The comic book and retro store, toy store, happy dog daycare, grooming in-store, restaurants, antique stores are a few of my favorites. I didn't know anything about this Stowe Children's Train. What's that all about?
So there used to be a miniature train in Stowe Park years and years ago, and it was taken out of service, similar to the train that's in Limeburg Park and in Gastonia. And that would be fantastic to get that put back into Stowe Park.
Yeah, what about having, the carousels seem very old-fashioned, but downtowns are old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So what about carousels and places for kids to actually play?
Our Village Park, which is adjacent to our downtown as well, we over the past decade have invested in a miniature train and in a carousel, a double-decker, the only one, I think, between New Orleans and Boston.
A double-decker carousel?
Double-decker, yeah. So, and
bring your own ladder? How do you get up to the thing?
Steps. It's been amazing, both of those, how many families have just embraced both of those investments. And it's right near our downtown, so the hope is that they walk across the street into our downtown as well. So
yeah.
Once that's done. So, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a lot bigger deal than I think people may think.
You have these two festivals every year. That seems to be something that could be almost all the time.
And even more than that, I mean, there's not a weekend it doesn't go by in Matthews. There's not an event planned by Parks and Rec. I mean, there's Food Truck Fridays. There's First Thursdays. The Shamrock Crawl comes St. Patty's Day. I mean, it's just on and on and on, and it's all geared towards the families.
There's something in developer world called, or planner world, called festival streets. And you're planning a festival street in Cornelius. You kind of alluded to it out near the Kane Center when it's up and running. What is a festival street?
So I think a festival street is less a physical, kind of design as much as it is just a space that's going to be used for communities. The idea, I think, is that, and again, I'm not the town planners, but the idea, as I understand it, is to be able to have a street where you could shut it down, you could do these festivals. Already, we have a great local organization called Bella Love that kind of operates Old Town Cornelius, which is this brand they've created, and they do two big festivals a year called Taba Walks, where they take these two big parking lots. I mean, they had like 5,000 people there last month, and every second Friday they'll have these public festivals. So, I mean, I think I'll tie back to this in just a second, but I think the thing that everyone's alluding to here about these downtowns that's really neat is the idea of culture. Mm-hmm. So creating and bringing culture to your town.
Define culture.
Because people
think of culture as getting dressed up in a tuxedo and an evening gown and sipping champagne at the opera.
Thank you. I think that's a great point, and you're absolutely right that culture is so much more than that. Culture is what makes us who we are, our identities. I mean, sports are a part of culture, right? I mean, it's part of the culture of Charlotte if you're a Panthers fan,
right?
I mean, that's part of your culture. And so, culture is things that make us uniquely us, I think. And each of these downtowns want to create their uniquely them identity, and culture can help to do that, whether it be a sports arena or arts centers or festival streets where people can share experiences. That gives us a sense of identity. So we're not just another part of Charlotte. No offense to Charlotte. We love Charlotte.
I understand. But, you know. It's fine. We think highly of ourselves. You won't hurt our feelings.
Hey, we love Charlotte.
So these festival streets, when they're not being used as to host an event,
sure.
What are they? They're just big, wide open sidewalk spaces? What are they?
Yeah, there are a lot of things. I think that the restaurants that are there in these like downtown urban places sort of drive that. So there's people, breweries, yeah. Huge part of it. They spill over into these spaces. I mean, that's just, we hope our downtown is not 24/7, but we hope it's open for business a lot, not just when there's festivals. The people are there just to hang out,
so
just
got,
to be.
We're undergoing some rethinking about our liquor laws in North Carolina right now, but we have the breweries. We have people now distilling spirits. Mm-hmm. We have wineries in other parts of the state and wine bars throughout Charlotte and probably into your towns as well. How do you explain this shift in attitude about alcohol and alcohol consumption?
I don't have a scientific answer, but just growing up in Gastonia in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it's a totally different environment now than it was then when it was.
When they allowed liquor by the drink, everything changed.
Everything
everywhere.
Changed. Yeah, you didn't drink in public, right. Back then. And now we have a rum distillery in Belmont. We have two breweries in Belmont. We have places that you can enjoy.
And what does the presence of a rum distillery mean to you? What does that do for you?
Well, it's just a really cool thing to have in your town.
What time does that coolness begin? What time of day?
I think people finally started to link. I think the community at large, community meaning all of us, started to link alcohol sales with economic development. And I think that's where the attitudes changed. They saw places that didn't have it and didn't capitalize on it, that couldn't get moving, couldn't get to the next step. And those that did and embraced it, they just attracted the investment. Right, wrong, or indifferent, regardless of what your beliefs are on that, you can't deny that it's about economic development.
Both Belmont and Cornelius have, I think, a unique problem in that you have interstate highways running right through the center of town. Yeah. You have I-77 in Cornelius, which separates east and west, and the lake area of Cornelius from the non-lake area of Cornelius, and 85 cuts through Belmont, separating the north part of town and Belmont Abbey College from the downtown area. How are you overcoming this impediment?
So we're working to have a north-south greenway and trolley service that will connect downtown to Belmont Abbey College that will cross over that.
There's some people in Charlotte who sell you a trolley cheap right now, I think.
We have our own trolley, but maybe they can sell us the second one.
So you're actually going to develop trolley service?
Yes.
Over the interstate?
Over the interstate.
You're going to build a bridge?
Cool. So there's an existing rail bridge. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so we've been working with NCDOT on that project because it crosses both Wilkeson Boulevard and I-85, which are two huge physical barriers that really just bisect the town. So we're trying to connect it better with the pedestrian infrastructure as well as trolley service.
And we talked to some folks in Cornelius over the last several weeks about crossing that great divide of I-77. Is it going to work? Do you think it's going to work?
I think that's my job. I think that's one of my jobs with what we're going to do with the Kane Center and with the creating this downtown is most of the development in Cornelius has happened on that other side of the interstate. When it comes to especially things to do, shops, commercials, things like that, and so now again using our project as a catalyst to help to bring more. Similar to the comments from earlier, when they first announced our project with the Kane Center, there's been over about $12 million in just initial private investment of kind of people buying properties and now looking at developing things. And so we plan on our project to be a reason to bring people back over now to this side of town as well.
Wow. Back to some of the comments that have come in. Teresa on Facebook, Monroe is the only city in the area that seems to be making minimal strides in revitalization. Between allowing the oldest antebellum home in the city limits to fall into decay and the building of a homeless shelter at the entrance of downtown, can the massive investment, $7 million, in a small theater offset decades of mistakes and neglect? I'm not sure any of you are qualified to answer that. You wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, would you? Thank you for your question, Teresa, but nobody here wants to answer it. Bob on Facebook, downtown Monroe struggles with vacancy, and many of the spaces are occupied with office space, making nightlife very difficult. What is a good balance of space, and how do these towns achieve the balance? That's a good question. How did you do it?
And that's something that we still struggle with. We don't have enough retail. We're overrepresented on service and office and restaurant. So it's a struggle because you're looking at individual buildings, individual businesses. And, you know, I don't want to comment on other towns, but this is all an evolution. You've heard from Matthews and Belmont today that it's taken us 20, 25, 30 years to get to where we are. So, you know, if just be patient if you're in Monroe, if you're in other towns that the market hasn't fully developed yet.
But you're building a downtown, so you have an opportunity to take a clean slate and make it what you think it ought to be.
Absolutely. And we got a
what
lot
do you
of,
think it ought to be?
Yeah, and it's a mixture of all that. We have a lot of vacant land, too, that's right in the heart of downtown, so we'll have a lot of new construction going on as well as preserving the old. Mm-hmm. So that's where we'll have the mixture, apartments and people living there, which we think is critical, the ballpark for people coming in, tourists coming in and spending money. So that's – but I tell you, retail is going to be the toughest for all of us.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Well,
the Amazons of the world are driving that.
I was going to ask.
Bricks and mortar is just – it's tough. It's tough.
So you're building your downtown. You're trying to figure out what the mix ought to be and what you want it to be. You're kind of tight on space in Belmont as it is, but you'd like more retail. What about Matthews and Cornelius?
Well, right now we have no vacancy downtown. The town overall has a 65-35% split on residential to retail, so we're in a nice sweet spot from that aspect of it. The good news about downtown is that with the food and beverage, it's now creating that critical mass now that people want to live downtown, so we need to find housing for downtown, and we're now getting retailers and other restaurants that we normally wouldn't associate with downtown coming to bear. So we're getting there.
Cornelius?
Oh, so how to not put myself in the wrong corner here. I can say that officially I always know that Cornelius is not focused on residential development right now. They would like to see more commercial side of things. But I can say that from my experience and just looking at Cornelius downtown, I think there's lots of opportunity. There's a lot of single-family homes that existed. So not new development, but I think there's a lot of opportunity for watching these neighborhoods that surround the downtown and how they might be impacted by the development there. Think Plaza Midwood. Think NoDa, kind of what happened there. Don't know if that will happen or not. We'll see. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for that. And again I think the focus is more on the commercial, seeing how that happens from there. But there's a lot of great walkable neighborhoods already near downtown.
You mentioned downtown residential. You're talking about existing houses, but Matthews is building stuff. You're building apartment buildings. I think, is Belmont planning to do that as well, apartments?
So there's a large textile mill downtown that is going to be renovated for multifamily and mixed use.
So this urge of millennials, younger people, to rent and to be in apartments, which is happening all over Charlotte, because that explains all this growth and development and then the kind of development we're getting. The same thing is happening in your towns as well?
No, absolutely. I mean, although in a slower pace, the apartments that have been approved are more peripheral to the downtown. There is one 24-unit project now slated to be finished in about 2 months in downtown next to Town Hall. But there is a drive. I mean, people calling and said, we want to live downtown. Where's the housing stock to be able to live downtown?
And the same thing is part of your master plan in Kannapolis.
Absolutely. We're planning on 2,000 dwelling units downtown when it's all built out. So there's enough land to do that.
So when people ask to live downtown, they want to live downtown, where are the units downtown? Build them, I will come. What else do they want? Once they're there and they're living there, do they want to be able to go out at night to
They want that, and my wording is live, work, and play. They want to be able to work close by. They want to be able to have those activities and the retail associated with that and the food and beverage.
We have about 30 seconds left. Charlotte is underparked in that we don't have enough parks. Do you have enough park space in your towns, Belmont?
I think so.
Kannapolis?
I think so, yeah.
Matthews?
We're fairly balanced moving towards more greenways.
Okay. Cornelius?
Working on it.
And would you consider the Festival Street and the open space outside of the Kane Center?
Oh, so you mean Parks and Rec, like parks, or like parking?
Yeah, not parking.
Oh,
no,
I thought
parks.
You meant parking.
No,
apologize. Parks. Oh, my gosh, the parks in Cornelius area are wonderful. In the park department, we have so many wonderful spaces and greenways consistently being built.
Can you park in them? I'm just kidding.
Sorry, I thought you said parking.
And finally, Renee on Facebook says, with regard to Matthews, don't forget the significance of the farmer's market and Renfro's. That's the hardware store, for people who don't know, both of which carried the weight of vibrancy during less abundant times. All true?
Oh, all true. I would agree with that, but I can't hit everybody and everything.
I know. John Urban, City Commissioner of Matthews, Mike Lake, City Manager, Kannapolis, Adrian Miller, City Manager, Belmont, Justin Dione, Executive Director of the Kane Center. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.